So, good morning. My name is Tin Zhu, and my topic is exploring link correlation for efficient flooding in wireless sensor networks. This is a joint work with Steve Zhong, Professor Tian Qi, and Professor Zili Jiang. Flooding protocol is a network protocol that disseminates data from one node to all the other nodes inside the network. It supports applications like network programming, global time synchronization, and routing tree formation. Flooding protocol has been used in both wired network and wireless networks. In wireless networks, it introduces its unique design challenge, which is how to provide high reliability using unreliable wireless links. Since wireless links are unreliable, multiple retransmissions are needed, which introduces the second design challenge, how to reduce the number of redundant retransmissions. Researchers have proposed some approaches. These approaches can be categorized into two categories. The first category is deterministic approaches. In these approaches, the nodes are pre-selected as forwarding node to retransmit the data packet. And the second category is probabilistic approaches. In these approaches, the nodes are probabilistically selected to forward the data packet based on either node density or location information. All these approaches assume that packet receptions are independent. Our empirical study find out that packet receptions are indeed correlated. Based on these empirical studies, we designed two mechanisms to utilize this observation and so that we can design efficient flooding protocols which can reduce redundant transmissions. And moreover, it can also provide high reliability. So let me first introduce how do we conduct the experiment. We conducted experiment in both indoor environment and outdoor environment. In either of these environment, we use 42 megasigmoids. And the sender in the middle of the topology will periodically transmit the data packet for 6,000 times, and all the other nodes inside the network will act as the receivers to record all these data packets. We conducted experiment for multiple times in both indoor and outdoor environments. And in this experiment, we find out that the packet receptions are correlated. For the sake of time, here I only show one set of data we get in the indoor environment. The dot represents the location of the node, and the number beside the dot represents the packet receptions of these nodes. Let's first take a look at the three nodes inside the red square. This figure shows the first 600 data packets received by these three nodes. The x-axis is the packet sequence number, and y-axis is the receivers of node N22, node N29, and node N23. The black band represents this packet is received by this node. As you can find, this packet is received by N22. And you can also find this packet also received by N29 and N23. Similarly, we can find the packet received by N22 is also received by these two receivers. And the white band represents this packet is not received by the receivers. Here, this packet is not received by N23. It is also not received by N29. From this figure, you can find there exists a lot of such patterns. To mathematically analyze these packet reception correlations, we use this conditional packet reception probabilities. Here, S is the sender, and this is the probability that N29 receives the packet given N22 receive the same packet. From this figure, you can find that this conditional probability is 100%. We also measure the packet receptions of N29, which is 47.29%. The packet reception means the total number of packets received by N29 divided by the total number of packets transmitted by the sender. And you can find these two equations are not equal. Similar results can be found for the node pair 23 and 22. This indicates that packet receptions are not independent. This slide only measures and compares three node pairs. In order to systematically analyze the packet receptions among all the node pairs, we conducted compare all the node pairs and plot out the histogram of conditional packet reception probabilities in both indoor and outdoor experiment. Here, S is the sender, and NL is the low packet reception ratio node, and NH is the high packet reception ratio node. And you can find that in this figure, the conditional packet reception probabilities are highly located in the value near 100%. This indicates that the packet receptions are highly correlated among receivers. Based on these observations, it introduced a principal design challenge for efficient flooding protocol design, that is, how to utilize the highly correlated packet receptions. In order to address this challenge, we proposed two mechanisms. The first mechanism is called collective acknowledgement, and the second mechanism is called dynamic forwarder selections. For the sake of time, I will not introduce the dynamic forwarder selection today. You can find the detail in the paper. Now let me talk about the collective acknowledgement. In order to show the effectiveness of the collective acknowledgement, let's first take a look at the traditional reliable flooding protocols. This is a simple topology. The sender S tried to disseminate their packet to both node N1 and N2. After node S transmits the packet, N1 and N2 may receive this packet. Based on node N1, we'll estimate whether node S or N2 are covered or not. Here, the node is covered means this node already received the data packet. Since N1 received the data packet from S, N1 can tell node S is covered. However, N1 have no idea whether N2 are covered or not. Later on, when S receive due to the unreliable wireless links, S cannot tell whether N1 or N2 are covered or not. Only after S receives the retransmission from N1, S can tell N1 is covered. However, S still have no idea whether N2 are covered or not. So more transmissions are needed from S to N2 in order to cover node N2, or node N2 need to send acknowledgement back to S to tell S that N2 is covered. If we are utilizing the link correlation for the same topology, if we assume the conditional packet reception probabilities given N2 receive the packet given N1 also receive the same packet is 100%, then after N1 receives the packet transmission from S, since N1 receives the transmission from S, N1 can tell node S is covered. Moreover, based on the conditional probability, that N2, the probability of given N1 receive the packet, N2 also receive the packet 100%, N1 can tell node N2 is also covered. Later on, after node S receives the packet transmission from N1, S can tell both N1 and N2 are covered because S received the retransmission from N1, so N1 is covered. And then based on the conditional probability, S can also tell N2 is covered. The retransmission from N1 to S not only serves as an acknowledgement telling S that N1 is covered, it also serves as a collective acknowledgement telling S that N2 is also covered. So by utilizing the link correlations, we can provide high reliability with fewer transmissions. The design of the CF protocol contains three states: maintenance state, sender state, and receiver state. In the maintenance state, each node needs to maintain two pieces of information. One is link quality, and the other one is conditional packet reception probability. At the sender and the receiver states, each node also needs to maintain two pieces of information. One is the uncovered node set. The other is the coverage probabilities of its neighboring nodes. When the node in the sender or receiver state figure out that all its neighboring nodes are covered, the node will go to the end state and terminate the retransmission. Let me first introduce the receiver state. In the receiver state, the node will passively maintain two pieces of information. One is the coverage probability for all its one-hop neighbors, and the other one is the estimated uncovered node set. Let's take a look at these three node example. Here we use node U as the receivers. Initially, node U will maintain these two pieces of information of its neighbors V and K. Since node U does not receive anything from both of these nodes, the coverage probability of node V and K are zero. And these two nodes are uncovered from the point view of node U. After node U receives the transmission from node V, node U will update its neighbor's information. Since node U received the packet from node V, the coverage probability of node V is 100%, and node U will mark node V as covered. And the coverage probability of node K can be updated by using conditional packet reception probabilities. Given V is a sender, and K already received the packet, what's the probability that K also received the packet? If this coverage probability of node K is larger than or equal to a user specified threshold alpha, node U will consider node K as a covered node, and it will terminate its retransmission. Otherwise, node U will set the backoff timer and enter the maintenance state. After the backoff timer of node U fired, node U will enter the sender state. In the sender state, node U will actively maintain two pieces of information similar to the receiver state: the coverage probability of all its one-hop neighbors and the estimated coverage node set. For the same example here, node U will retransmit the data packet first, and then it will update the coverage probability of node K. Here, X is the coverage probability before node U's current transmission. So 1 minus X is the uncovered probability before node U's current transmission. And L of UK is the link quality between node U and node K. So 1 minus L of UK is the uncovered probability after node U's current transmission. So this whole formula indicates the probability that node K is covered either before or after current transmission. Similarly, if the coverage probability of node K is larger or equal to alpha, node U will tell node K is covered and will terminate its retransmission. Otherwise, node U will set the backoff timer and enter the maintenance state again. So As I discussed before, in the CF protocol, we have three states: maintenance state, receiver state, and sender state. We also have a backoff timer. Here, I already introduced the receiver state design and the sender state design. For the sake of time, the other pieces of work you can find in the paper. Our CF protocol is evaluated both in experiment and by running large-scale simulations. In the experiment, we conducted experiment in both indoor and outdoor environment. We compare our CF protocol with standard flooding protocol, which means each node, after they receive the data packet, it will unconditionally retransmit the data packet exactly once. And we also compare it with RBP. In RBP protocol, each node, like the standard flooding protocol, each node will first retransmit the data packet once, and then, based on the node density, the node will decide the retransmissions up to the maximum number of retransmissions. We evaluate the CF protocol by using four metrics. One is the reliability, which is the percentage of nodes inside the network receive the data packet. And the second one is the message overhead, which is the total number of data packets transmitted inside the whole network. The third metric is the dissemination delay. And the fourth metric is the load balance, which is the standard deviation of the number of packets transmitted per receiver. For the sake of time, here I only show one set of data we conducted in the outdoor experiment. In this experiment, we deployed 48 sensor nodes on a 326-meter-long bridge, and we compare our protocol with the other two protocols. This figure shows the reliability of these protocols. You can find that CF protocol achieves similar reliability as RBP8. Here, RBP8 means the node will retransmit the data packet up to 8 times, and RBP4 means it will retransmit up to 4 times. And the flooding, you can find the flooding protocol have a lowest reliability. We also show the total number, compare the total number of transmissions in this figure. The x-axis is the packet sequence number, and y-axis is the total number of packets transmitted. Since RBP8 have the similar reliability as CF, however, CF can reduce the total number of transmission by 31.2%. This figure shows compares the dissemination delay of these protocols. You can find that CF can reduce the dissemination delay by 55.2% compared with RBP8. Moreover, CF protocol can have less standard deviations, which means this is because CF protocol using dynamic forwarder selections, which can balance the transmission from the forwarders. In the previous slide, I already showed you that CF protocol can outperform all the other protocols. This slide, I will show why CF protocol can outperform all the other protocols. This figure shows the CDF of neighbor size. X-axis is the number of neighbors. Y-axis is the percentage of nodes. From this figure, you can find that CF protocol have more number of neighbors compared with RBP. This is because in RBP, the nodes will consider its the other nodes are neighboring nodes. Only the link quality between itself and to the neighboring nodes are larger than some threshold. Since CF protocol has more number of neighbors, it can more accurately predict whether its neighbors are covered or not. This figure shows the CDF of duplicated packet received of all these protocols. Here, x-axis is the number of duplicated packets received, and y-axis is the percentage of nodes. Here you can see CF has less number of duplicated packets received compared with RBP8. This is because CF protocol can use the collective acknowledgement, which can more accurately estimate whether its neighbors have already received the packet or not. In this case, the node will reduce the number of redundant retransmissions. This, in turn, will reduce the redundant retransmission received by each node. As a conclusion, our work provided the first extensive study to exploit the link correlation for communication improvement through two mechanisms. The first one is collective acknowledgement. The second one is dynamic forwarder selection. And we proposed collective acknowledgement, which is a new concept to improve the efficiency of reliable flooding. And by using collective acknowledgement, it transforms traditional direct acknowledgement per receiver into correlated and accumulative acknowledgements. CF protocol design is very simple. It only has three states, and it's symmetric. In the sender and the receiver states, they maintain the same two pieces of information. And since CF protocol only need one hop neighbor information, it is highly scalable. As a conclusion, it reduced the total number of packet transmissions by 30 to 50%. For more information, you can visit my website. Now I would like to take some questions.
Aaron Shulman, University of Maryland. So, can you guess why there are these correlated receptions? Like, do you have a hypothesis?
So this is a good question. So your question is why there's a correlation, right?
Yeah.
There's a couple reasons for the correlation. One is there exists a background noise or background interference traffic that will cause the correlation at the receivers. And the second one is because of the difference sensitivity at the receiver side, they have different sensitivity of packet receptions. So it will always have this kind of correlation. Some nodes will always receive more packet than the other nodes, something like that.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, Kyle Jemison, University College London. Mm-hmm. So the initial set of experiments were transmitters sending one at a time.
Uh-huh.
So for the final set of experiments where you're testing flooding, were the transmissions one at a time as well, or were they concurrent as well?
Can you say that again? I cannot hear you.
For the final set of experiments, were transmissions concurrent, were multiple transmissions interfering with each other?
Do you mean at the motivations experiment, or?
No, the final set of experiments.
At the evaluations?
Yes.
The evaluations part, it's a flooding protocol, so the sender will initiate the data packet, and all the other nodes will run the flooding protocol to disseminate the packets.
So I'm wondering whether multiple interfering transmissions could cause loss of correlation between reception.
So you mean there's multiple interference? The multiple interference, in some cases, it will also affect, will make it more, packet reception is more correlated, right, in some sense.
Okay, let me ask you later.
Okay, sure.
So I'd actually like to ask a question. So interference makes sense in the indoor case, but it doesn't really make a lot of sense in the outdoor case unless there's like a Wi-Fi hotspot on the bridge. So why is there a correlation on the bridge? Do you have any sense as to why? Is it signal or like the cars passing?
This is because, as I mentioned, the second reason is the sensitivity at the receiver side. They may have different sensitivity to the signal. Signal noise threshold will cause the correlations at the receivers.
Right. So given a particular signal strength or an SNR value, it'll be a coin flip. Right, it'll be a random coin flip. The losses will be independent if you're assuming bit errors from a constant SNR value. Right, correlation has to occur when signal or interference is correlated, changes. So do you have any sense as to what might be causing those changes in the environment?
Can we can take this offline. Great, so let's thank our speaker again.